Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is a gorgeous day here on the coast. After kind of a crappy weekend with clouds and rain and drizzle and all that, it's nice to see a nice day. You know, why is it that when on the weekends when we have time off, the weather sucks, and then at the first of the week when we've all got to work, we end up with these gorgeous days? There's something wrong with
this. Well, who had the weekend off?
Yeah. Where have you been, Jim?
Well, I had part of the weekend.
Oh, well, yeah, so did I till about 11:30 Saturday morning. And then since then, who knows?
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I have in the studio with me today, Rob Taylor, of course, and Craig Zanny. And we're going to do something a little different. I've never done this before, so I hope everybody can bear with me. We're just going to have a little BS session, and you are invited to join. So all you listeners out there, take note of the number, 541-267-2124. We're going to talk about a variety of things. It's not a scripted show. Normally I come in here with 18 to 20 pages of notes.
And you only get three of them done.
I managed to get through three of them. Today I showed up with less than a page of notes. And what we're going to do, we're going to kind of let the conversation go where it will. We're going to hop back and forth between subjects. And this is an opportunity for you folks out there. If there's something you want to talk about, there is no subject line today. So if you want to talk, give us a call, 541-267-2124. We'll put you on the air. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about.
And, you know, I've been getting a lot of phone calls asking me about what's going on in this election. Who am I voting for? Who should they support? And I've been giving a lot of answers out there. I think since the last week I've talked to you, at least 15 people have contacted me in one way or another and asked me how to vote.
So. I get the same thing every election cycle. You know, we come here, we do a show, and I get home at night and I've got emails and phone calls stacked up. You know, I'm not going to tell anybody how to vote. I will tell you how I vote, but I'm not going to tell you how to vote because I believe all of you are smart enough to figure it out for yourself.
Do you get that, Sheriff? Do you get people asking you that?
Yeah, my staff, you know, they, a lot of times they come in, a lot of times people come in and say, who should I vote for on these measures? And as you know, government employees cannot at work give you any kind of political opinion or anything like that. And and so, you know, sometimes they'll come out and they'll say, well, the sheriff can talk to you because unlike some rumors going around, the sheriff can talk about political issues on duty because that's part of the job. And so I'll go out and they'll say, well, how should I vote? So, and like you, Jim, I don't say this is how you should vote. How do you feel about these subjects? Here's what this measure says.
Right.
Right.
And here's what it would technically means to the best of my knowledge. How do you feel about that? But speaking of voting, it's important, you know, and we've talked about that before. Voting is a big, big deal. And I have this initiative that needs to be on the next ballot.
Okay.
And that initiative is, once you vote, you should be issued a little code that you could put in your cell phone or whatever, and you no longer get any kind of campaign ads, mailers, nothing on your radio, your phone, your TV.
That would be awesome.
But to make up for that, those who haven't voted yet, your share of those things goes to the rest
to them.
Right.
That's only fair. Yeah, that seems only fair.
You know, I cannot urge anyone enough. If you have not voted, get that ballot marked. It's too late to mail it. Take it to one of the drop-off sites and drop it in the box because this is a very important election. And if you don't vote, your lack of vote could make things go the way you don't want them to, because I've spent the last week trying to get a handle on what's going on as far as who's ahead in what race, and
it's not easy. It's not easy.
Here's the bottom line as of this morning. Almost all of the races, with very few exceptions, are polling within the margin of error.
Yep.
Which tells me that every single vote counts. Every single vote. Your vote is more important now than it's probably ever been in the past. And if you've not marked that ballot and sent it in, you need to do that now.
I imagine with the district race that we have between Caddy McEwen and Terry Greer, that that's going to be within a couple of hundred votes. And we're talking thousands of people here.
I would say so. And, you know, I told you so.
Yep.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the Independent Party of Oregon.
Not so independent, are they?
No, the Independent Party of Oregon was founded by two attorneys who just happened to be little Peter DeFazio's personal attorneys. And I was proven right last week. The Independent Party candidate for governor withdrew from the race, and he threw his support behind Kate Brown.
Well, can you imagine that? What a coinkydink that you would mention that on just the week before
yeah.
we were talking about that. And here he comes out and throws the race.
Shocking.
So all
Shocking.
Of you folks yeah. out there, you know, I have a great deal of sympathy for you. Those of you that registered as independents, mainly because you wanted to get away from the nonsense in both
right.
the major political parties. You went into it with good intentions. You wanted to do everything right. And now you found out you've been screwed royally, and you didn't even get kissed in the process. So, and of course, we got little Peter DeFazio out there that's campaigning for Caddy McEwen.
Yeah.
And it looks like the Independent Party is going to support Brown now since their candidate withdrew from the race. So, it's just more election dirty tricks, and if you registered as an independent to get away from this nonsense, you just got the shaft.
Hey, you were telling me sometime this past weekend that Caddy McEwen and Katie Eyman had plans for bringing a Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, I figured this out, folks.
Okay.
I figured this out. You know, both Caddy McEwen and Katie Eyman. Well, McEwen hasn't said much about the LNG thing, but Eyman's against it, of
right,
course.
Right, right.
She's against LNG. And, of course, Caddy has voted for illegal aliens. She voted to give them driver's licenses even after the voters said no.
Right.
She voted to give them in-state tuition in colleges. She voted to give illegal aliens financial assistance. Education.
Right.
So I figured out just exactly what Caddy and Katie are doing as far, you know, they both tell us, well, they're for jobs in Coos County.
Right.
So based on what they've said, there's basically only two jobs that are going to be available. I think what they should do is establish a slaughterhouse for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So we can murder more babies in Coos County.
So they can harvest those body parts.
And,
you know,
and sell
those
them.
Embryos,
yeah.
Right.
And, of course, we need to establish an illegal alien welcome center. So I think that's what they stand for. That's basically what they said. And then we can add to it, you know, McEwen is having a conniption fit. She's been running ads over... Terry Greer wanting to give vouchers to parents so their children can attend better schools. So,
but she doesn't say that, though. That's the problem, is that she's not coming out in that commercial. She's not explaining that it's a voucher program. She's just saying that she wants to send, that Terry wants to send
right.
money to private schools in Portland. But she's not really explaining the system, and it's a half-truth.
Well, here's the reality. What McEwen is actually telling you, folks, is your children or grandchildren should stay in the government schools that are failing badly. We've got the third worst graduation rate in the country.
Right.
She wants to keep your children in the crappy government schools and doesn't want them to have a chance at a good education. That's basically what she's telling us. So We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we've got a caller holding on the line, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, Danny here at Far West Tire and Auto. Do you feel like you're constantly on the go, from daily commuting, dance recitals, and weekend adventures? I'm sure your tires have never let you down, but that much time on the road can cause some wear and tear on your tires. It might be time to consider upgrading to Nokians. With the 50,000-mile warranty on select Nokians, you can hit the road in style. So stop on by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right to the phones. We're going to talk to Chuck in Coos Bay. Chuck, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you, Jim. Listen, I've been kind of interested lately, since we retired, watching the earthquakes around the world.
Right.
And I've noticed that over 30 days there hasn't been any earthquakes along the coast in Oregon.
Well,
and I did notice at the end of July that they had one day they had 10 earthquakes between 3 point something and 5.8, and they were not recorded. I found them a different way, and I'm just wondering why that's happening. Didn't know if you knew why.
Well, you know, as far as the earthquakes, are probably Donald Trump's fault because everything else is
right.
But I've been kind of following that myself. It appears that there's some significant movement in a San Andreas Fault down in Southern California. And apparently that's transferring up and down the fault line to some degree. If you look at the San Andreas and then you look at the fault lines offshore, just a couple hundred miles off Coos Bay, those are all connected. And it's not unusual to have minor quakes offshore here in Oregon, and thank God they're just minor. And I think, you know, from what I understand about it, I'm certainly not a seismologist or a scientist on this, but it would appear to me that these minor quakes are probably a good thing because they're relieving stress, so it doesn't build up too much to create a major quake. So,
but I think you're right. It's just that really when you have earthquakes between 3 point something and 5 point something, that's good that they're happening. That isn't exactly minor though.
Well,
but everywhere else those are being recorded. How come they're not recorded for us to see in Oregon?
Well,
why are they leaving Oregon out?
There is a website, U.S. Geological Survey, and
they don't report them.
Well, they report anything over 2.0.
Well, they're not. That's what I'm telling you. That's the reason of my call. They're not doing that.
I don't know. Maybe it's an oversight on their part, but
it goes week after week after week.
Yeah. Well, I know we get a lot of minor quakes here that are never reported. See, one of the things is the fault line that affects us is about 200 miles offshore. And,
well, I understand. Yeah.
And unless it's a fairly major quake, we're not going to see any impact here in Oregon because it's just too far away. It's probably going to take a 5 or a 6 before we even know what happened.
But all around the world, and I've been watching them all around the world, anything above a 3, even a 2 point something, is recorded.
Right.
But nothing on the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should send an email to Geological Center and ask them why they're not updating that and why those haven't been recorded, because I'm kind of interested. I didn't notice that, but that's always a concern with me, since we deal with emergency management and knowing what's going on.
Okay, that's all I wanted to mention. Have a good day.
Okay, well, thanks for the call. You have a great one.
You know, since I've moved here, that's something that's always been a big issue that's on people's minds. It's never something that was big issue in New Mexico, because if we have an earthquake in the desert, oh, look, another canvas, you know, another ditch. So it wasn't a big deal, but here I can understand, because, you know, you have the tsunamis that can be created, and plus you can have the flooding and whatnot. So I know there's like about 10 different groups on Facebook that you can go to that talks about those quakes, and I don't know exactly which service he was talking about, but I don't know where they're not being reported, but it would be like the sheriff said, let's contact that group or
contact that U.S. Geological Survey, and if you go to their website, they've got an email link on it. So.
Yeah, almost all of them have a contact point, because, you know, it's one of those things, like you said, it's good that the fact that we have continuing little ones, because we all, without going into big deal, is the tectonic plates, they build up pressure.
Right.
As long as it's released in little bunches, we're good. It's when you don't have it released and all of a sudden you get a big one, it's a problem.
Yep.
And you know what's amazing is people don't know this, but 99% of the oil that's in the ocean is released by the ocean, and that occurs during these earthquake events.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's huge amounts of oil being released right now. And people don't realize that, you know, when they talk about this oil spill by BP, we're still talking about less than 1%.
So. Yeah. You know, if the earth has been absorbing that for gazillions of years.
Right.
And it's normal. Yeah, you know, I think. In all the years I've lived in Western Oregon, which is a little over 30 years now, I can only remember one earthquake that I actually felt. And even at that, I wasn't sure that it was an earthquake. It could have been a big truck going by.
Right.
Well, I remember yelling at my dog because I thought the dog was at the end of the couch, you know, scratching.
Right.
And I'm sitting there trying to read a book, and the book keeps moving. I find the dog, and I go, "Will you?" And I look down, and the dog's not in the room.
I think animals are much more sensitive to that than
absolutely.
Humans are.
Absolutely. But I thought, boy, I have to tell you, it's one of those, as I'm saying this, I still feel embarrassed because I'm thinking the dog's doing it, because it went on for a little bit. The first time I said, "Will you stop?" And finally, you know, I dropped the book. Like, "Will you?" And you notice the bird cage is swinging in the other room and all that. Going,
well, we found out something today, folks. Craig's dog is smarter than he is.
Yes, there you go.
Now, anybody knows me knows that I've always told people that was a fact. If they could have drove and wrote their own reports, I'd have been unemployed years ago.
You know, I'm going to run my dog against the mayor of Bandon. I mean, I think he can actually win and take that race. So I think the next time that comes around, I'm going to run him against
There was a place back, I think it was Wisconsin, where somebody ran their dog.
And the dog won, dude.
Yeah.
I think I could do that. I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, if your dog's even halfway as intelligent, it's probably better than what you got. So.
He's smarter than Mary. So.
You know, something happened over the weekend. I talked to one person face-to-face, and then that was Saturday morning. And then Sunday morning, I got a call from a lady that told me the same thing, and I haven't had chance to actually go out and knock on any doors and talk to people, but I got the same story from these two people, and the lady that called, I questioned her if she knew of the other person I talked to, and she did not, but they both gave me the same story. They said that Katie Eyman had been out campaigning and knocking on doors in their neighborhoods, and they were two different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I verified that, and both of these people told me that Katie was telling people that she's a Republican and that she supports Donald Trump.
You know, if this story was coming out about anyone else, I'd have a hard time believing it. But knowing Katie, and, you know, I call her Crazy Katie for a reason. The lady is just, you know, what we call an enchilada shy of a combination plate.
Right.
Yeah, you know. So I could see her going out and doing that. She's been walking around town, and she's got this hat that she's wearing. She almost looks like one of the homeless people or one of the vagrants. And, you know, I felt sorry for her. But, you know, knowing who she is and what she wants to do, I didn't feel that sorry for her. So, you know.
Well, you know, when she came on the show here several weeks ago.
Right.
I accused her of being a Portland Democrat, and she says, no, I'm a Coos County Democrat. Well, this would kind of belie that. She's using the same crappy tactics that the Portland Democrats use, and she's denying even being a Democrat. What does that tell you, folks?
And she's
what does that tell you?
And look at the race she's running against John Sweet. I'm not voting for anyone in that campaign, but I can tell you right now, if I was a betting man, John would be the guy I'd be betting on, because I think he's run a much stronger campaign. He's been out there. He's been with the people. Where Katie is someone who I haven't seen the commercials that John's been doing. I haven't seen the radio ads that he's been doing. And the only thing that she's got going for her is the organization of the local Democratic Party, which is
pretty
sad.
Much. And I think I summed it up here a couple weeks ago. Her husband, Bill Bradbury, when he was in the legislature, he's the one that voted for all these Enviro Wacko laws that basically killed off the timber industry on the Oregon coast. And he didn't quite get the job done in totally ruining our economy. So I think Katie wants to run to finish the job.
Right.
Since I've been in public office, I only endorsed one candidate so far, and that was John Sweet. And that's the reason I did it. I think, John and I have had some significant disagreements.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he's been really good for the county. I think he's really thoughtful, pays a lot of attention, and he's not afraid to ask questions.
Well, seeing what Katie wants to do to the jail and turn it into your local homeless shelter,
yeah.
I would be out there too, Sheriff, vote for whoever she's running against. This lady's nuts, all right? I want to save you because I know you don't want to say that.
But that isn't even really the reason is, having been with the county for a long time, having a board of commissioners, first of all, that look out for the interest of the entire county first, above any personal concepts,
right,
or personal intentions, and then a board of commissioners who can actually get along not only amongst themselves but with department heads and other elected officials. We haven't had that always. We've had some really terrible boards and board members.
We have.
Very much so.
And the part is the ones we have right now, I just tell people up front, I don't always agree with them, and we've had some significant disagreements. But at least I can sit down with each one of them and talk, and they will return communications, explain what their position is, and we both learn and we all get better. Simply put, when I first got in office, one of the first things I got asked by one commissioner is, you don't come up here and fight with us much.
Well, that's too bad, huh?
And my response was, my job isn't to fight with you, it's to get a job done.
Right, right.
And hopefully find ways to work with you so we're all working and pulling in the same direction. And
right.
We have a group that are doing that now.
Yeah, I've had some serious disagreements with Sweet, and I'll probably continue to do so.
Probably.
Right.
But, the thing about, and this is something each of you need to keep in mind, there is no such thing as a perfect candidate.
Not even close.
Except maybe for me. I'm continuously running for emperor.
Emperor, yeah.
And I am the perfect candidate. Trust me,
but
I understand
these
things.
But you didn't get your name
things.
On the ballot this time.
Well,
I noticed
that's obviously your fault.
Your name or the position, either yeah. or, yeah.
But the thing is, you're never going to find the perfect candidate. Sometimes you've just got to analyze a situation and say, okay, my vote goes to the guy that's going to hurt me the least.
Exactly.
And it's unfortunate that, I've been doing this for a long, long time. I cannot remember during my adult life in any election having a clear-cut choice of good or bad. What we normally have is a choice of bad or worse. And that's just the nature of the game. And if you're one of those single-issue voters, well, I won't vote for this person because of that.
Right.
You might want to reevaluate your situation, because when you vote, you're not voting on single issues. You're voting for what's best for your community, what's best for your state, and what's best for the country as a whole. And we as citizens of the United States, we have an obligation. Voting isn't just a right, it's an obligation. For us, the people that own this country, to decide how it's going to be run. And if you don't vote because an otherwise decent candidate just doesn't meet the criteria for your single issue, you may want to reevaluate that, because look at the overall candidacy. Look at overall for what that candidate stands for. Look at overall, if it's an incumbent, what they've actually done as opposed to what they say, because this is going to come to a shock to a lot of people, but did you know that politicians sometimes don't tell us the truth?
Oh, that can't be true.
No, you're lying to me, Jim.
I read it on the internet, and it was on the internet. So you have to be mistaken, because the internet said the difference. It says, all politicians tell the truth all the time.
Oh.
In all circumstances.
I haven't found that website yet.
That was a Facebook Zuckerberg post, I think. I'm pretty sure about that.
Paid for by the former governor of Illinois that's currently in prison.
It's funny you mention that, Craig, because when I was looking over some of the races in Illinois, but do you realize that the last five governors of Illinois have gone from the governor's mansion to prison?
Yeah. At least that way they know it's a consistency
Look at Florida. One of the guys running for governor in Florida is under federal investigation.
He's under federal investigation, yeah.
Getting free tickets for a football game, wasn't
it? Well, there's been two or three other
It was more than that. Apparently, he took taxpayer money. And spread that around amongst his buds, which you can't legally do. And he's trying to deny it, but his denials don't stand up to the hard evidence.
And then that brings an interesting concept. What if he gets elected and then indicted?
Then Florida can join the club with Illinois.
That's the scary part.
You want
to join that club.
They've been playing a series on the History Channel about Watergate. I don't know if you've been watching it, but it was really good because they've been taking the tapes, and they'll actually have two characters play out the tape in the Oval Office. And unless you were there and you knew and you kept track of it, it was hard to keep all the players and, Ehrlichman and Harleman and Liddy, Gordon Liddy.
I started to watch that, and I thought, why do I need to watch it on TV? I was there.
So for us younger generation who I caught that as a kid, and really didn't conceive of what was going on, it was great to watch it and realize how in-depth it was and what Nixon was doing and how he had that hit list and how he basically took the second term because of the way he was able to manipulate the Democratic Party and pick, I think it was McGovern over the other candidate, and McGovern was so much more liberal than the past candidate that they were able to usher in Nixon in that second term. Incredible stuff there to watch is behind the scenes 40 years later.
The thing is, I talk to a lot of people, when I'm out during the week servicing accounts and talking to people, I try to talk to as many people as I can, because I want to get a feel for what people are thinking. And what I find most appalling, I guess, is the number of people and people in their 30s even that have no concept of history. They don't know what happened. And I blame that on our government schools, because they don't teach history. And here's the thing, folks. If you don't know history, if you don't know where we've been, you cannot possibly have any inkling of what direction we're going.
Plus, you don't understand how the system is supposed to function.
Exactly.
And it's a scary part, because a lot of people truly do not know how things function. It's much like anything else. I have people come in and say, "Well, I need you to do something about the commissioner because they did this."
You're going to cuff them? What?
Obviously, in a criminal matter, it's very clear what I could do. But they'll be unhappy because of a decision the board makes or something, and they come to me. And vice versa. I'll do something. They go to the board. Well, we don't like what the sheriff decided, and we want you to do something with that.
Well,
and they have to tell him. He doesn't work for us. He works for the citizens.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm going, was I that brilliant of a student when I was a kid? I don't think so. I've seen my report cards. I don't think that was the case.
Right.
But I paid attention, And little by little, eventually it soaks in and you understand.
Yeah.
And it is a shame. And, you know, we've talked before, I have 10 grandkids and I love everyone. And they're all, and they can all cite chapter and verse. And I'm so proud of them because they know how that works. And the two oldest ones are very proud that they voted this year because they were old enough to vote.
That's great.
And as I think I mentioned a number of years back, we didn't do it this year because everybody's so busy. But normally, before we get together and we have a family dinner and kind of a cake or pie social, and we sit down and everybody has their ballots out and we discuss issues. We don't even around the table, we don't change people's minds necessarily because everybody votes how they want.
Right.
We talk about those.
Right.
And I find that, some people will say, well, talk about the measures and all. I find it interesting because it's surprising the different view people within your own family can give you of any of those things. And you go, wow, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to agree with you, but
I get that a lot.
we have a family thing going on, and it's just great.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it is, and everybody learned something,
right?
From it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that if you give 10 different people the same identical information and then go ask them about it, you're going to get 10 different opinions on what that information means. That's just human nature. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because the way our system is set up, it's set up specifically to be an adversarial system. The reason for that, and the founding fathers were brilliant because they understood human nature. By having an adversarial system that's more or less balanced, you can get ideas out on the table from all sides. You have an opportunity to discuss it. And then you can reach some sort of a conclusion where everybody gets something and you can compromise. Oregon is unique in that our entire state, with the exception of the Secretary of State's office, is controlled by one party.
Right.
And that is an unhealthy system because you don't have the give and take in the discussions over issues. Just so you know, I would have the same belief even if it were all Republicans.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter which party. The system itself was designed to have a more or less even balance.
Absolutely.
So you can have those open discussions.
Well, a classic example of that, Jim, is look at the 2016 presidential elections, and you have these people saying, well, Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes. But she got him in states, and she won those states.
Right.
But the difference is the Electoral College is there, so it's not just a popular vote. So because we all know if you won 5 states out of the 50, the rest of the states could vote unanimously for the other candidate and have no say and lose.
And that's – see, and there's a movement out there among liberals and idiots in college that know nothing.
And Rhode Island is the smallest state. They're not going to be for a popular vote because no one would ever go to Rhode Island.
Now these idiots are even wanting to abolish the Senate because it gives unequal representation.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
There's a big deal on the college campuses now, and this is why it's important to teach history. You know, originally, the Senate was not elected by the people. It was elected by each state's legislature.
That was 1913 when they did that, right?
And the idea, the intent, was that the Senate was supposed to represent the interest of the states themselves, and the House of Representatives were supposed to represent the interest of the people.
And, you know, I find it interesting that same year that they created the Internal Revenue Tax, and they also created, the Central Bank.
The Central Bank
was all created in 1913, and there was a reason they went to a popular vote for the states, because they wanted to have it manipulated by powers outside the states.
Exactly, and basically... all it is creeping liberalism.
Right.
That's all it is. And we got to take a break here. We run way over time. And As compensation for running overtime, we'll give something away. How's that?
Sounds fair.
Yeah, this is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend, one in Wally World and one in Reedsport. And they are offering my listeners some freebies. I have in my hot little hand a certificate for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. That's a whole meal. I have another one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice, one for one free dessert of your choice, and another one for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice.
That's a heck of a prize, Jim.
It really is. And
if you don't want it from Jim's hot little hand, you can get it from Rob's clammy hand.
Either way,
we'll get it to you.
Or I can have the sheriff drool on him before I put him on the envelope.
That costs extra, though.
But along with all these certificates, there's a sheet of coupons. They're on several different products. But it's basically buy one, get one free. I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now. Be caller number 3. And you'll win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. With the cold winter months here, it is time to have your cooling system serviced. Many people think their antifreeze only keeps their car's engine from freezing. In reality, the engine coolant does much more than protect your engine against the cold. It also protects against heat and corrosion. A quick way to destroy your engine is to run it too hot. Aluminum components can warp as a result of excessive heat. Good coolant improves the cooling system efficiency. It also keeps the cooling system from rusting, which can cause severe problems over time.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive today. They'll clean, flush, and put new antifreeze in your cooling system to make sure your car is in tip-top shape for winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 3rd year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special 4-pack. Now you get 40% off 2 MyPillow premiums and 2 Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, "Man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on?" He said, "I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember, folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I want to remind all you folks listening that if you got something on your mind you want to talk about, give us a call, 541-267-2124. And it's an open line today. We're just having kind of a BS session, I guess, over a multitude of things. And I want everybody to know how privileged I feel. I have gotten two calls from Barack Hussein Obama urging me to vote for his friend, Kate Brown.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm doing some research now. I'm trying to find out which political action committee is behind that, because one of the calls is on my cell phone, and I'm going to send him a bill for my minutes.
You know, what can he say? You know, if you like 10% unemployment, vote for Kate. If you like running a deficit every year, vote for Kate.
If you like crappy schools, vote for Kate.
I'm not sure what you're running
on. Not to graduate from high school.
But
no kidding.
You know, had I had any doubt in my mind on how to vote, Obama certainly made the decision for me. I wouldn't vote for Kate Brown if she was the only person running. I'd write in my cat's name on the ballot rather than vote for her.
Put your cat's name in case I need it.
Well, and the fact is I think that's why Newt Bueller is I think, going to win. Myself, I'm personally betting on that. But I'll tell you what, in any other condition, he wouldn't, because he's not a Republican who would even make it through the primary in most red states.
So. No, he wouldn't. And during the break, we had a call. Bill talked to the caller, wanted me to tell them how to vote. I don't do that. I will tell you how I vote. Okay. But that's my vote. It's one vote only. And mine's real easy. I voted no on measure 102 and yes on all the other ballot measures. And I did something this time that I have never done before. I voted for all Republicans. I've never done that before. I normally vote for the individual.
Right.
But I voted for all Republicans. And the reason I did that was some of the nonsense that's going on. I just got so doggone irritated at the way the Democrats and the media are handling this election. They're lying to the people over and over and over. One of the things that particularly lit me up over the weekend, down in Georgia, they got a real tough governor's race going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrat candidate's a woman named Stacey Abrams.
Right.
Well, she had a campaign rally, and patrolling around the rally were new Black Panther members carrying AR-15s.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. Well, mainstream media never bothered to cover it.
Yeah, CNN didn't seem to have that one on there because they don't like guns, so why would they like guns there, huh?
Not a peep out of the mainstream media about that. Not a peep. Can anybody imagine what would happen at one of Donald Trump's rallies if a bunch of patriots walked around with ARs in their hand?
Well, isn't that the same candidate, though, that was a few years back said that she wouldn't hold it against anybody that went and fought for ISIS?
No, right. That's the one in Arizona.
The one in Arizona. That's okay.
No, but she burned a flag, the one we're talking
about.
Yeah, the one in Georgia burned a flag.
She wants to raise taxes by 40%.
Oh, my.
Here's the scary part. According to the polling, she and her opponent, a guy named Kemp, are within the margin of error.
I know, that's scary.
My question is, are Americans really that stupid? That's a question you got to ask yourself. And the other question you got to ask yourself, how much do you not know because the mainstream media has chosen not to tell you anything?
Well, look, you were talking about this program that was talking about Nixon.
Right.
How much of that stuff actually we never heard about till later.
Right, yeah.
Right.
It's no different than you go back and the Kennedy administration and some of the activities that went on and prior presidents. For example, you can go back to FDR and the fact that they were particular about how they took pictures.
Right.
What they said. They never showed his wheelchair.
Right. Most Americans that voted for him in his third election
never knew.
Never knew that he was basically a cripple and
paralyzed. Yeah.
And was paralyzed basically from the waist down. They didn't know that. The media covered for him. And this is one of the things that particularly frustrates me because I'm a constitutionalist. I don't make any bones about it. I'm damn proud I'm a constitutionalist. And I spend a lot of time and effort studying and trying to understand not only the Constitution, but the body of law that's been created from the Constitution.
Right, right.
You've got to go look at the court cases.
Well, and that goes back to what I'm saying, and we were talking about FDR, John Kennedy. And
right.
I've read, because that's the era I grew up in, and I was fascinated by the man.
That's because you're really old.
True. But that beats the alternative, doesn't it?
Well,
so one of the things that I thought was interesting is the fact that, they always, I remember his kid, and I always remember because he was in a PT boat, they got rammed by a destroyer, and they always did show his rocking chair in his office for his bad back. That was because he had severe Addison's disease.
Right.
And I've read medical studies that said, had he not been assassinated, which was horrible.
Right.
Had he been elected to second term, he probably wouldn't have survived the second term.
No.
But nobody said anything. They kept that all covered up. And I think that is not right.
Well, something more recent, just over the weekend, Perez, he's the head of the DNC.
Yep.
He came out and made a statement that, why is it that all these Republicans have had all these complaints regarding sexual improprieties, and it's never touched the Democrats? And I thought, what planet does this guy live on?
Right.
I mean, does anybody remember JFK? Does anybody remember his brother Teddy?
Chappaquiddick. Yeah.
Chappaquiddick. What about Bill Clinton? Apparently Bill Clinton slipped their mind as well.
What about Barney Frank? You can even flip it to that direction. Well, he had a male prostitute prostituting out of the basement of his house.
Yeah.
Come on. Hello, folks.
And then currently we've got Keith Ellison with credible allegations.
Documented
I've researched
proof.
That. Yeah.
Well, you know what's even worse is the way they're treating his wife and the way they're marginalizing her.
Yeah. And Cory Booker, he's had allegations leveled. And I don't know if they're true or not, but for Perez to come out and make a statement like that, he's blatantly lying through his teeth, which I guess I'm not surprised.
Well, Jim, that's the dichotomy of the Democratic Party is that they will say that all men are evil, all men are bad, except the men that are in our group, you
right.
know, and that's that group thing.
Well,
you know?
Well, what about Don Lemon on CNN? The real terrorist danger to America is white man.
Right.
And not only did he not back away from it, he doubled down on it. And where in the hell is CNN? Why aren't they coming out and putting a muzzle on this idiot?
And the statistics would bear out that 50% of the murders that are committed have been committed by people of color.
Yes.
And that those people of color who've been murdered, 90% of those murders were committed by other people of color.
Yes.
And so to say that is absolutely ridiculous, considering they only make up 8% of the population.
No, 13%.
13%? I'm sorry.
13%. Well, we're at the top of the hour. I can't believe this first hour went so quickly. And why don't you folks call in? Let me know how we're doing with our open discussion. And if you've got something on your mind, call in and talk to us. 541-267-2124. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I want to remind everybody, there's an open line today. There's no subjects. It's just basically a conversation about various things. If you've got something you want to talk about, if you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 541-267-2124. Another one of the things that the media is not reporting on, you know, A lot of the what I call the fault of the media isn't just that they lie, which we can document that real easily.
Right.
It's what they don't report on. How many of you out there know that at least two of the accusers for Brett Kavanaugh when he went through his confirmation hearings, at least two of those accusers have now been referred to the Department of Justice for lying to a congressional committee about their sexual assaults. Ooh,
ooh, ooh. As well they should be.
Yeah. I did.
yeah, you heard about it. But you are like me. You follow the stuff. And
particularly afterwards.
Yeah.
After it's out of the headlines is when a lot of the really interesting part comes. I mean, in the one, in her interview with the FBI, admitted that it was all made up,
right?
And it was all just to be get media attention and get that my name out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the lady's talking about a Yale college student. She's talking about gang rapes and
right.
drugs and fire trucks and midgets and the rodeo clowns. It's like, okay, lady, come on. At a certain point, you got to say, really, are we going to go this far? You know, and we got the sheriff here.
Oh, but
I was just, how many times does this happen, you know, in real life that people come forward and make these accusations because they can face charges in real life? Does this happen often in law enforcement?
It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And that's part of why, you know, when people make allegations, we take it so seriously because you can ruin somebody's reputation
right.
off an allegation, much like they Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah, right.
And that's terrible because if he did it, prosecute him, lock him up, do whatever you got to do. But to make allegations like that are untrue is so salacious.
And the media
and so
ran
wrong.
With it as if it were true.
And some of the media already knew it was not true when they ran with it.
Right. NBC held the information for weeks.
Yeah.
They knew that the woman was lying.
And they held it. Exactly.
Yeah. So basically, they wanted to deceive the American people. And then people wonder why Donald Trump calls it fake news. And they get their shorts all knotted up because he tells the truth. We do have a caller. We've got Haven from Bandon. Hi, Haven. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good, man. Nice clear day down here in Bandon.
Yeah, it's nice here, too. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing. I just figured I'd call in, and I wanted to thank Craig publicly for bringing some signs down. We put them up in our yard. Everybody in the house voted for him.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the job that he does because it's one that nobody else in town wants, but they all seem to know how to do it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Isn't that true of everything, Haven?
Oh, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Haven, that's like one thing that people say to me. You know, I come in the office in the morning, some people say, how are you doing? I says, I don't know yet. Let the phone calls begin. Because somebody usually calls me up and tells me pretty clearly how they think I'm doing. So the nice part is this call, make sure for today, balances out. Now I'm 50-50 again. So.
All right. Good deal. Good job, Haven.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've traveled around a lot, and I've got a lot of friends in law enforcement all over, and you know, on a side note, you know, I know quite a few of the deputies and the guys in the sheriff's department, and pretty much all of them have got nothing negative to say about you. And think about that in the context of any of us in our job. How many of us say anything positive about our boss?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it's funny you'd mention that, though. I also know a number of the deputies just for being around all this time, and the ones I know all think that Craig's doing a great job.
Yeah.
So
well, he's got questionable taste in friends with, you know, you and Rob. But well, too, so.
don't hold that against him. He kind of has to come here to do the show. So
yeah. For those of you listening out there, don't hold it against Craig because he's friends with us.
I don't want to mar his reputation. Yeah.
Well, I will say this in my defense. I'm willing to listen to all kinds of opinions.
And he's just leaving it hang
yeah,
like
just
that.
Let yeah. that. Just yeah. let that yeah. hold on that a minute. Yeah.
Okay, Haven. Well, I thank you for the call. You have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine while it lasts.
You know, I got served a summons recently to go to court just a couple of months ago. You know, that homeless lady who
me,
you know, it's horrible. And I'll tell you, the gentleman who served me from your office was the most polite summons server that I've ever met. He was, you know, knocked on the door. We sat there and chatted for a while. He was a very nice guy. And, you know, everyone I've ever met from the sheriff's department, even the guy who's running against you, seemed to be really nice people.
He's a nice
guy. I mean, you know, I have no complaints about these guys. I mean, you know, and I can say that mostly about the people I've met in law enforcement here in Coos County. There is one exception. I won't give his name. But, you know, most of the people overall in law enforcement, I have had, you know, great experiences with. And you can't say that in all cities because there are some cities whose law enforcement has a really bad reputation. I'll give you one. Albuquerque is one. Yeah. And, you know,
Portland.
It's, Portland is another. Yeah. So, you know, I think you guys are doing a great job.
You got to remember. The police, the sheriff's deputies, all of them, their attitudes come from the top. It comes from the top down. If you've got a police chief or a sheriff or whatever that understands who he works for and he communicates that effectively to the people under him, then what you end up with is good law enforcement. They're courteous to the people. They understand that guy they just pulled over for going 40 miles an hour over the speed limit is still his boss. And by and large, just about all the cops here in Coos County, I don't really have any complaints on any of them. I know quite a few of them. They do their job. They do what we pay them to do. And this nonsense, you know, the liberals, the Democrats are out there campaigning. They want to abolish ICE.
Right.
Well,
right.
Golly, let's abolish ICE. And then who's going to protect us from all the illegal aliens that the liberals seem to want to let into the country?
And ICE, they keep saying, is a new agency, but it's an agency that was revamped and renamed. I forget the name of the original agency that it came from.
It used to be Immigration and Naturalization.
INS. Yeah, and so they changed to ICE because they wanted to do interstate policing.
Well, under INS, they were pretty well limited to the borders.
Right.
Under ICE, now they have free reign over the entire country.
And that became under, since 9/11, under Department of Homeland Security.
Right. Right.
So those changes were done on purpose with the full and express consent of all of Congress, both political parties, the president, and the court, saying that's all well and good because we realized we had a bigger problem than just the border.
Right, right.
And, you know, and that's... Since we're talking about it, it's like Measure 105. I've had more people, you know, I took criticism because I come out and said I supported it because I believe the people should make those decisions, not the legislature, particularly when you only have one party represented.
Right.
And they said, well, what's wrong with that law? You know, and I wrote a letter back to a lady. I got the typical pre-printed card with this lady said she's disappointed in me and all that. And I'm going, well, you know, I never was a good cartoon drawer anyway, but that's and so I wrote back, and she made a couple of statements, and I answered to her statements and said, here's why. Okay, if you think that we should be a sanctuary state, that's your choice, but that should be the people of the state, not one group of people, not representing both all the people. And the other part is under Measure 105, the law, I can't remember what it was, 181-820A or something. Uh-huh. I don't remember exactly now. Part of that says we cannot use any money, local monies, to do immigration enforcement. We've never done that anyway. But my question is, am I violating that statute if ICE goes out to arrest MS-13 gang members who've been deported and come back?
Right.
And they get in a shootout. Am I violating that statute to go help them? Because now I'm going to help them pick up those people.
Technically, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And I will tell you, there's enough attorneys out there that on a technicality will file lawsuits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going, we need to be very clear when we write laws, because that's one of the things we were talking about is, do I vote yes or no? So you're voting yes, you mean no. And if you vote no, you mean.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Right.
Why is it not simple so ordinary folks can understand it? But that's part of how they shuck and jive the people. Well, and you know, you mentioned we're talking about the illegal aliens and stuff like that. The media, and I was watching it last night, three different news channels were playing down this caravan of illegal aliens coming up through Mexico. Oh, well, they're just poor people looking for a better life, and they're not a threat to the nation. Well,
with several hundred gang members in there.
Homeland Security came out with a statement late Friday afternoon. They have identified over 180 MS-13 members and convicted felons that are part of that group. Those are specific identifications. That doesn't count the hundreds or maybe even thousands more that they don't have information on.
Well, exactly. And, you know, as I said, this lady, and one thing she said, she's disappointed, and you don't have any empathy for minorities. Well, I think Rob's heard this story is, I know that technically I'm a minority.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, most people, you know, think, well, you know, you're just one of the old white guys. Well, I'm old, but I'm quite frankly a minority. Plus, I have very close friends who are minorities, but specifically Hispanic. I have a niece that her mother was born in Mexico. She's here as a lawful citizen. Her daughter's married to my nephew, and I love the bejeebers out of it. But the bottom line is, they don't want illegals coming here either.
So no.
This isn't what they make it, where it's about, well, you're just trying to suppress minorities. No, we're trying to suppress illegals. Activity.
Yes.
In fact, I used to work with a group in New Mexico, Vecinos United. It was a conservative Hispanic group, and one of their main concerns, one of their top two issues, is illegal immigration. And like I said, this was a Hispanic conservative group.
Exactly.
And because they're Catholics, they're very socially conservative.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, people understand, you know.
That idiot sheriff in Multnomah County trying to convince us, well, you know, If we overturn the sanctuary state, it's going to make his job tougher. What an idiot. What an idiot. Number one, if you look at the latest numbers, and I just checked this morning, Latinos across the nation, by and large, are against illegal immigration.
That's correct.
Because it screws them.
Well, the other, I saw an advertisement, well, they, They'll be afraid to report crimes. Well, if they're illegal, whether we're a sanctuary city or not, they're afraid to report crimes. But there's these things called their visas,
right.
Immigration. Yeah. Even if they're in the country illegally, if they're reporting a crime or the victim of a crime, the DA's office regularly provides them with visas. You can't touch their immigration status because they're the victim or witness of a crime.
And what was it? It's been a couple years ago, but the Congress passed the whistleblower law. You remember that?
Yes.
And even if somebody is in the country illegally and if they report a crime, they are protected under that whistleblower law. So,
and that's where the e-visas come in. They actually get a document that says, hey, look, I have status here.
Right. This whole thing. Well, before I get into another subject, let's take a break here and pay the bills. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 541-267-2124. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. Sometimes deer like to jaywalk, or even once in a while a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop with the Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire design with more performance in mind. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. You know something else that's happening that people need to be aware of? It's how the left and the media, the media lapdogs, have gone along with this nonsense of changing terminology to change the meaning of things. Right now, according to the media and liberals, Donald Trump is the worst racist on the planet because he wants to protect our borders from people coming in illegally. So that makes him a racist, according to them. Well, yeah, granted, the vast majority of people trying to cross our border illegally are Latinos from Mexico and Central America, but there's also a significant number of people from the Middle East and other areas of the world. And so is Donald Trump a selective racist then? He's only racist against the Latinos, or is he a generalized racist because he hates everybody in the world?
Well, my question would be is, are all the Canadians racist then? Because I've been to Canada we talked about going up there to teach. When I cross the border, I don't just get to drive in. I have to stop, present credentials.
That's
stop.
Right.
You go to Mexico and you get stopped at going into Mexico.
Yes, you do.
You don't just drive through. You go into Guatemala, Honduras, Brazil, Chile, any of those places. You
better have a visa or you go to jail.
You get off the airplane. You don't just walk off the airplane and walk off into the
crowd. They don't seem to allow that. And try getting on it with your gun.
That's always
well.
Good.
And the other thing that they've done that just absolutely ticks me off is on this abortion thing. They present abortion as a woman's health issue. Just when specifically did pregnancy become a disease?
Well, not only that, in the actual bill, there are criteria for not allowing the funding. So someone who's been through incest and someone's been through rape, they actually have funding mechanisms there in there. So those commercials are
There are exceptions in that.
Yep.
All they're saying is you cannot use taxpayer money for an elective abortion. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you can't. You don't get to choose the gender of your children at the expense of the state taxpayers.
Exactly. It's really that simple. But they changed the terminology. I've heard all these libs out there talking about, women's health, women's health, women's health. Pregnancy is not a disease. Pregnancy is a behavioral issue. It's just like the gun issue. They want to hold inanimate objects responsible for human behavior. Pregnancy is the same thing. It's human behavior. I can stop all the pregnancies in this country overnight by passing a law that says every woman has to hold an aspirin between her knees 24/7. That stops it. Well, it's behavior. It's not a disease.
I would have a hard time getting some woman pregnant just holding an aspirin between my own legs. So I think that could work for either the male or the female.
I could probably go into that, but not on the air.
Yeah, you don't want to analyze that too deeply, but you know.
But you know we have been conditioned with this nonsense of changing terminology. You know. What used to be homosexuals and queers are now gay. When I was growing up, gay meant happy.
Right.
Look at
a lot of that goes back to the one of the simplest words that I'm still trying to figure out to this day. We were talking about things that happened in the past. Is what is the definition of is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, only Bill Clinton can answer that.
Well, I think Webster's actually had answered it years ago, but I found that so interesting is rather than dealing with the question, we're dealing with the definition of words.
Right.
It's like, you know, one of the things that I find interesting is they talk about people who are addicted to drugs, and it's a terrible thing.
It really is.
But now they have a disease.
Which is BS. This is BS.
Which is kind of like, then how come we don't just let people go who steal stuff because they just have a disease. Kleptomania.
Yeah.
Gambling, another one.
Look at the double standard they've come up with. Let's look at drugs and alcohol and smoking. Alcohol and drugs are now a disease, but if you smoke tobacco,
that's not a disease.
You're just a bad person. Yeah.
Which all of them are just a bad choice. That's what we called it.
All bad habits are behavioral issues.
And everybody's willing to accept that.
Right.
Yeah.
But we want to pick on one because we dislike it more than the others, or we favor one more than the others. So we want to be lenient with this one and not lenient with that one. And that's the sad part is it goes back
to... It's a double standard.
It goes back to not having any standard.
Right.
And if you're not going to have standards, what do you have? You have nothing. It's a free-for-all.
Well, it's just like
anarchy.
Yeah, it's the open borders nonsense that the liberals are pushing. Oh, well, we need to open our borders. Well, you open your borders, you don't have a country.
Well, absolutely.
If you open the borders, why bother to have a constitution or laws? And people like you, Craig, we'll just fire all the cops because we don't need them.
Yeah, you can save all that money.
Yeah, it's all kumbaya.
When you get on the phone because there's an emergency.
Yeah.
Use the term Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call?
Yeah. You know, and then there's this widespread hatred for law enforcement for some reason. I know where it originates. It originates predominantly among uneducated people in poorer areas that think they're... Liberals have convinced people that commit crimes on a regular basis that they're somehow victims of law enforcement. And
you know, Jim, a lot of that is not that it's law enforcement. It's that the legislatures have passed such incredibly bad laws that these officers have to enforce. I mean, at one time, it was actually against the law to park in your own driveway in Bandon, but they would never enforce it because you could you imagine you home late at night and the police officer, old Bob Webb, that's the chief police over there, he comes up and he says, man, I'm going to have to give you a ticket for parking in your driveway. I think that's going to cause a little bit of argument, screaming, yelling.
I wouldn't think so.
And so they didn't enforce it. But I tell them on the council, every time you pass a law, someone has to enforce it, and they may pay the consequence of enforcing your decision. And if it's a bad decision, it's probably going to have bad consequences to it.
Well, the whole thing on law enforcement, I can't believe how incredibly stupid people are to think that we should abolish police.
Right.
You know, what kind of a society would we be?
Well, one of two, either utopia or anarchy.
Anarchy, one of the
two. Well, unfortunately, I know which one I think we get to.
Yeah, that's pretty evident there. Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned earlier about the local police and attitudes, and part of that is local police and agencies, and we've talked about this before. Sir Robert Peel, 1829, wrote The Tenets of What Law Enforcement Should
Be.
And as you know, we've talked about Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, Detroit, some of those places. And I've looked at those cases and researched them, you know, much like you do, because it's police where you look at those. And those agencies got away from those tenets.
Right.
And part of the problem, for example, you know, we were talking about, and to throw ice in there, this incident in Portland, how unfair, okay, they had people protesting outside the ICE building. Okay, they can do that. When they started damaging the building and stuff, the mayor goes, well, the police aren't going to get involved. They have their own police. They can take care of that. That's why people get upset, because now you have people going, well, which is it? When I went down and broke my neighbor's window, the police come out and arrested me. But those people are breaking on the windows on windows that I got to help pay for because they're government funded.
Right. Good point.
But we're not going to do nothing about that because it's okay. The inequity is the greatest problem.
Right.
For law enforcement everywhere.
Well, and the thing that really, really ticks me off is, you know, all last summer and even the year before, we had all these Antifa demonstrations in Portland. They damaged police cars. That's public property.
Yep.
They damaged businesses. That's private property.
Private property, right.
They injured people. And the police stood around with their thumb in their butt and did nothing.
Well, even worse than that, and this is my opinion, and I agree that is absolutely horrible. Even worse than that, part of some of that was done to prevent somebody from expressing their First Amendment rights. And to me, that's even more serious and dangerous and damning it to the nation as a whole than the damage to the patrol cars and the buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Because basically, what they're saying is, yeah, you have a First Amendment right, but we just took it away from you, and you don't get to have it.
It goes back to what I said earlier. Our system of government is set up as an adversarial system. That's the only way it works, when you've got balance on both sides. When you've got one side that says, okay, only our opinions will be heard. If you disagree with us, we're going to cut you off. You don't have a right to say anything.
And label it hate speech.
And then, they label it hate speech. I've been accused of hate speech a number of times.
Hate radio.
Well, here's my answer, folks. All you idiots that think this is hate radio, you know what? I don't care.
Well, and you know, here's the funny thing about that. Is people say, well, we don't want hate speech. Well, here's one of the interesting parts is I have never seen a television or radio or anything else didn't have an off switch.
That's right.
Or a selector of channels.
Right.
But the other part is, if you don't allow people to talk, how do you know what they stand for? You were talking about candidates misinforming people.
Right.
How do you know that if we're not going to let you talk and bring it out because it happened, because we don't want you to speak up because we don't care for yours? You know, a classic example, you know, they always throw Adolf Hitler in there. Well, and if people paid attention, Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong weren't exactly really nice people either.
Actually, they were worse in many ways. Yeah.
Well, they were.
Numerically, they were way worse.
Oh, yeah. Stalin
the bottom
was,
is, if you want to know how people fell under the spell of Nazism, you have to sit and listen to what he said. And you have to read. One of the things I always find interesting is, like, the people who were upset with President Obama when he took office. And they said, well, I didn't know he was going to do those things. And I looked at him and said, did you read his book?
He told you what he was going to do.
It didn't. It wasn't in the humor classification.
Right.
He told you what he believed. He told you he was going to do. And then you're surprised by that. It's the same thing. I know of people because, as you know, I'm really into history and stuff. Historically, people who had read Mein Kampf said, well, I didn't think he really meant it.
Right.
Yeah.
What? He's in prison. He writes a book. He tells you, I hate these people. I get my way. I'm going to kill. I don't think he really meant it.
Well,
what do you think he meant when he wrote it?
And especially when you're at prison, it's not like you got a lot of time to sit around. And
those of us that do study history, you know, it was actually the Allies after World War One that created Adolf Hitler.
Absolutely.
With the Treaty of Versailles.
Versailles, yeah.
They basically, they put Germany into a corner where their economy could not possibly recover. There was high unemployment. There was tremendous crime. And Hitler came along and said, hey, I'll put people back to work and I'll get the crime under control. Well, these people were desperate.
Well,
they didn't look beyond that.
And the other part is they tried to place all the blame of World War One on Germany and make that Germany pay retribution. And it's just like the reason we had the Vietnam War is because after World War II, most of the colonial powers gave up their colonies.
Right.
And France didn't want to do that with Vietnam.
Right.
And that is how we ended up with that war. That same attitude from the held over from World War One was supposed to be solved in World War II. And because they went and did the try to do the same things they did in World War One, created the war in Vietnam.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But people don't know history because they don't teach it in our schools. We got to take another break here. So, if you got something on your mind, something you like to talk about, it doesn't matter what the subject is, give us a call here, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. We're just kind of having an open discussion today that anybody can join. And we do have a caller holding on the line. We have Robert from North Bend. Robert, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Jim. I'm actually curious about your position when it comes to Trump's decision to or desire to make it where people that are born in this country from illegal immigrants don't turn around and gain
the citizenship
status.
Right, right. The so-called anchor babies. Actually, ever since he came out with that, I started looking into it. I researched the Constitution, and I also researched case law on it to find out what I could learn. Here's the bottom line. The way the Constitution is reads, now you got to understand that the 14th Amendment was passed basically due to slavery. It was passed
right
after the Civil War to allow those slaves who were resident in the United States at that time to become citizens. That was the whole intent of the amendment. And the clause in that amendment that tells it all is under the authority of the United States. So if you come here illegally, you are not under the authority of the United States. You're under the authority of a foreign power. Because you can only be under the authority of the United States if you come here legally with and comply with the laws, or if you were born here legally by parents who were under the authority of the United States.
And that's never been ruled on, number one. And number two, the 14th Amendment was created in some very contentious situation.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
I mean, it turns around and tells me that basically there's no need to do it. It just needs a ruling in the Supreme Court as to whether or not it's valid in certain situations.
Well, it does.
My concerns are based off of, I know a lot of people in our community and outlying communities that came here with illegal citizen parents, that, and they were born in this country, and you know, they're frightened by the idea because they're looking at losing their citizen status. How do you turn around and legalize that, or turn around and pursue making where anchor babies can't happen?
Well, you can't
protecting those people.
You can't do it retroactively.
Right.
And I don't think that's Trump's intent. And if you look at what Trump said, you know, unfortunately, the media has a tendency of spinning things so that it sounds like you say something you didn't say. What Trump wants to do, he wants to issue an executive order not changing the 14th Amendment. He wants to change government policy on how they enforce the 14th Amendment, because for years we have totally ignored the clause about being under the authority of the United States. All he's saying is let's support the amendment as it was written. Let's obey existing law. Now, that does not mean it's going to be retroactive. What that means is it's going to be this way from here forward. It would take an act of Congress to make it retroactive.
Okay, so here's a really interesting question.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen Ruins Everything? Adam Ruins Everything.
I don't watch network
TV. On TV lately?
No, I don't watch insipid network TV. I've got better things to do.
I get a chuckle out of this guy because he comes at you with actual facts. It's based off of people that are in the field that are working in those challenges. And his biggest thing when it came to immigration and the wall, and he's completely against it, was the fact that our problem with immigration is not stopping the flow coming in. It's more a matter of getting the cases that are currently on a completely overloaded docket resolved in an appropriate manner, and providing the ability to be able to do that effectively, which I see as being even far more costly than a wall would ever be. And I get staunch the flow. I get that to an extent. But the reality is, if they're looking at 6 years to turn around and run a case to remove somebody from the country, isn't that even more of a problem?
It is, and we can thank past administrations for not dealing with it. You know, this has been an issue for at least 25 years.
No, it's been an issue longer than that. It was an issue with Carter.
At least, I said. It goes way back, and it goes back, and it's the same doggone thing. They pick and choose which laws they want to apply, and they ignore the rest. Now, my wife's an immigrant. She came here illegally. It took her 10 years to get her citizenship. That's ridiculous. But the machinery moves extremely slowly, and I think there's probably ways that could be expedited if they decided to do it. But
let's stay away from bureaucracy. Well, that ends up being a really long conversation.
here's the problem with it, Robert. You got attorneys that specialize in immigration. They make their money the more that they can stall things and get more appearances and issue more interrogatories and more motions. They get paid more. They don't really give a rat's behind about America, and they don't even care about the people they supposedly represent. All they care about is dragging this out as long as they possibly can to make as much money as they can. What I think we need to do is establish government attorneys that work for the government. They get paid a flat rate regardless of how many clients they have. And they're the ones that should present these cases to the immigration court for an up or down vote. And that's what's slowing things down, because some of these poor people, I talked to one guy, he's from Mexico. His brother tried to immigrate. They had him in court 9 times over 3 years.
And you know, not only that, there's other things that are exasperating the problem. Number one is chain migration, where they can bring one person in.
Right.
And a lot of times it's through these, where they just pick and draw whoever's coming in,
right,
instead of basing it on merit. And even if they do it on merit, I don't think they should have this chain migration where their grandmother, their cousins, their nephews should all be allowed in. That's one of the problems. The second one is this amnesty, people coming here and saying that they're coming to be, you know, because they're a refugee,
right,
in their own country. That should be eliminated right there.
Well,
I don't think there's anyone. Very,
that's eliminated if you just enforce international law. Because,
well, and this goes back. One of the things he said is true. Is this goes back. If you remember, President Reagan gave amnesty,
right,
to a whole bunch of people,
right,
and he said, we're settling this and stopping this for Congress to fix.
And Congress
just
never
did nothing.
Never.
That was the big mistake Reagan made at that
time.
Yeah,
by trusting the Democrats.
Trusting
the Democrats flat lied to Reagan regarding the tax cuts, regarding immigration, or a number of other things.
That was Tip O'Neill.
They just flat lied. But the thing with the immigration thing, the chain immigration and all of that, and the asylum, under law, if you leave your country because of oppression for whatever reason, you must apply to the first country you come to for asylum. If you do not, you're not entitled to asylum anywhere. And this bunch of
you're basically taking advantage of the system. It's not a matter of precedent.
Right.
It's a matter of I want to go there.
Exactly. Now this you won't hear it from lamestream media, but this caravan coming up through Mexico offered those people asylum. They offered them jobs,
yes, they
and they turned it down. They want
That's
to come
because
to America.
An agenda that has nothing to do with their need. It has to do with an agenda.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's what we're fighting against. We're not fighting against real needs. We're fighting against the open borders agenda, and that's being financed heavily by people like Bloomberg and George Soros and Tom Steyer and a whole bunch of other gazillionaires that think they know better than the people how this country should be run.
And that's why you have
sure
the president.
Their labor forces are cheap.
Yeah.
But that's why the president is making such a big show of this, is because they were making a big show of it from the other side. And I can guarantee you when it goes on further, they're going to have more and more of these caravans just to test the system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, we've allowed this to progress to the point where we probably don't have much of a choice but to build a wall if we want to maintain our sovereignty, because without the wall, all we're going to do is continue the fighting and the spats and the political crap, and nothing will ever get done. We've been through years of that before. It hasn't happened, and the wall would stop the nonsense.
So just my perspective, but right. Trump's jumping into this because he likes a good fight, and he also likes the publicity, and that's fine.
No,
I have a problem
Trump
with
is
that.
Jumping into this.
Watch him go.
Trump is jumping into this because Trump is the first president we've had in years that puts America first. He's thinking about America. He's not doing it for political points. Trump's not a politician. He doesn't make political points. He looks at an issue, he comes up with a solution, and then he pursues that solution. That's business, and it's been working.
It's working when it's allowed to. Right now, like I said,
yeah,
I really think that he enjoys a good scrap just in general.
Well, I think he likes to fight.
He won't back away from one, which is what other presidents have done. Yeah.
Actually, that's what was needed was this scrapping. I'm glad we have a scrapper who's in Washington because that's what we needed, because we had too many people who were apologizing for us defending what is ours.
Yeah.
He's just impressed me across the board as far as what he's gotten done.
Oh, I know it.
I was very concerned about voting for Trump. I'm very happy with what I've seen happen. I mean, there's a couple issues that I could look at from different perspectives, but for the most part, I'm pretty happy with what he's done.
Well, I think as far as putting America first, I think he's done a great job. Like I said earlier in the show, there's no such thing as a perfect politician, but if you look at what Trump's done, what his accomplishment is, what his agenda is, you can't fault the man. He has done things that are good for America, and that's what we should all be concerned about.
A 3.4% unemployment rate?
Yeah, we
can live with that.
Yeah. It's the lowest unemployment rate for blacks and Hispanics. It just keeps getting better. People have more money in their pocket. People now understand what the laws are and how they're enforced, where we didn't before. So, yeah, he's made great progress, and I think that he'll probably do better in the future. But
well, I've enjoyed the conversation, gentlemen, but I kind of need to go.
Okay, well, I appreciate
the
call.
Thank you for the answer.
Okay, and you have a great day. And with that, we need to take one last break here, and we're going to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Open 6 days a week from 11 in the morning to 9:30 in the evening. They're closed on Mondays. I guess they need a day off like everybody else.
I know. Somebody does.
Food's really good there, too.
And what's nice is when you wait on it, when you're going to get the carry out,
right.
They can go into the bar there, and they got a couple of new slot machines I've been trying.
Oh, out, so you can waste some money.
I can waste some money, but it was worth a dime.
Well, you've got enough money. You can afford to waste.
That's not according to my wife. I don't know who you've been talking to.
But the nice thing about Lucky Star, you can dine in, you can carry out, or they even deliver, which I think is awesome because I avail myself of that service. But what they're offering is their house special dinner. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. It's a humongous meal. It's gigantic.
I'm drooling over here now. I'm serious.
Yeah, it's probably enough to even fill up the sheriff. We're going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now. 541-267-2124. Be caller number 3, and you can win this house special dinner from Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. And we'll be right back.
Oregon, it's Rob from Bass and Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, The Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Okay. Welcome back to the show. We do have a winner on the meal from Lucky Star, so don't call anymore. We got a winner. We'll do it again next week. How's that?
Sounds good.
We've just got a few minutes left in the show, and I just want to make a few comments here. I know a lot of people are edgy about the election tomorrow, and to some degree, rightfully so. But there's two things that you need to keep in mind. Number one, if you haven't voted, you need to vote. You need to get that ballot marked. You need to get it to one of the drop-off boxes.
And sign that envelope.
Yes, sign the envelope. And the other thing to remember, and I have spent the last week researching races all across the country. And what I've discovered, you know, I basically ignore the mainstream media because you can't trust anything they say. So
yep.
my research is by and large independent of the mainstream media. Almost all of the races nationwide that are even remotely close are all within the margin of error of the polling. And I keep remembering and I keep reminding myself, these are the same pollsters that said Hillary Clinton was going to win in a landslide.
95% chance of victory.
Yeah, 95%. And we've got Cook out there, who's supposedly a nonpartisan that rates all this stuff. He's saying it's 80, as of this morning, 87% the Democrats are going to win. I don't believe it, folks.
In fact,
I don't believe it.
Of the 23, they'll take 5 seats. That's what I'm betting on.
Yep. Vote. 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 That's the best thing I can tell you right now. If you have not voted, vote. And we're out of time. I will be back next week. And until then, I want you to go out there, you vote, and you have a great week.